verses in the first chapter. Welcome to follow along. I'm not sure what page it's on. It's marked in your bulletin. It'll also be on the screens. Whether you read along or not, listen for what John has to say to us tonight and for what God might say to us through these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Would you pray with me? Lord, it's basically here this day that we started seeing signs of somewhere around Halloween. And through the music and the decoration and the food and the cards and all the stuff that goes with it, we arrive both excited and probably a little tired. And it's just the beginning. There's still much to happen in the next few days for many of us. So give us these few moments, gracious God. Help us. Help us to find your word. Help us to hear your word. Help us to see again what this whole thing means. Not just for the world, but for us. We pray it in the name of that same Christ. Amen. If you're a guest with us this evening, you may rightfully be wondering what's going on with no Christmas readings. So far, you've not heard anything about a manger, Mary, Joseph, wise men, shepherds. The truth is, we've already used those stories. We've been working our way up to this night through the season we call Advent, the weeks before Christmas. And being as there are not very many Christmas stories in the Bible, we've kind of already gone through them. We've done that because this year we've been talking about light, Christmas lights. The series that we've been trying to put together has been about the lights of Christmas, the Christmas star, the light of glory that shines around the angels, the light that the shepherds see out in the fields. And tonight, because of that idea of light, we turn to these words in the Gospel of John, which are pretty obviously a light kind of passage. Light is a big deal in the first chapter of John. When John tells the Jesus story, he doesn't start it at Christmas. Matthew and Luke do. They tell us something of the Christmas story. They tell us different versions of it. But when they begin to tell Jesus' story, they go to Jesus' birth. John doesn't. John begins at the beginning. He goes all the way back to the creation and says, in the beginning was the Word. And for John, the word Word is everything that God wants to say to people. It's the message of all the prophets, of all the priests. It's the summary of all the law, of all the teachings of Scripture. It's everything that God wants us to know. It's everything about who God is and what God desires for us to know about Him. And it's all wrapped up in this single word, Jesus. The very nature of God. The word Christ. Now, being a religious, somewhat religious, at least having a religious background, John knows that as soon as people read the opening words of his gospel, in the beginning, their mind goes to another beginning. The first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created. The first day in which God hovered over the deep and spoke a word that changed everything. Spoke being into existence. Spoke planets, universe, galaxies. With simple words. Simply by speaking into the void, let there be light. there was. And God called the light good and separated light from dark. And as we think about the light of Christmas, I find myself thinking, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be great if it worked that way, that we could put dark over here and light over here, if we could keep them from bumping into each other? If we could make it through the holiday with no dark, if we could make it through most of our days without dark getting in the way, if we could have parts of our world and ourself and our life where we just kept the dark off to the side. If they didn't mix, if they didn't bump into each other. Sometimes I think we try to act like that's possible. Like if we don't talk about or acknowledge the dark parts of our life, they don't exist. If we cover them up with enough food, enough drink, enough busyness, enough exercise, enough money, enough whatever, they'll go away. If we can distract ourselves long enough, they won't exist. But the reality, I think, is that most of us know better, even if we don't like to admit it. Some of you know this about me. Before we moved back up to Iowa and came to Spirit Lake, I served a church in Denton, Texas. This week, I just received word that on Tuesday of this week, that church got a letter. The letter was very simple. It said, if you hold your Christmas Eve services, your church will be bombed. There was another church in Denton that got the same letter. They're worshiping tonight. We pray for them. We hold them up in our thoughts and prayers as they courageously gather under that threat. The authorities are involved. Wouldn't it be nice if at least at Christmas, I mean literally for God's sake, the Christmas Eve service, and we can't keep darkness out of it. By the way, I talked to a coworker down there this afternoon. She said they've had multiple members call the church and volunteer to stand in the parking lot and shoot anybody who tries to bomb the building. Wherever there's light, there's some darkness that goes with it. And even when we're trying to do the right thing, we sometimes get it wrong. Which is why it's interesting to me the way John writes his passage, his story. John doesn't do separation. John says the light shines in the darkness. Not light here and darkness here. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome it. That's a beautiful promise to people who know about darkness. Nothing is dark enough to hide Jesus' light. Nothing can stop it from shining. Which means that any darkness that is left is only a shadow, a place where the light is blocked, where it's not allowed, where we keep it out. Any darkness actually exposed to the light goes away. Because darkness can't overcome light. Someone once wrote that even the smallest candle conquers a lot of dark. So Christmas is about more than simply acknowledging darkness in the world. We know that. We get that. Christmas is about the promise that in the grace of Christ, we can face our own darkness. That God has given us a word for the darkness in us. That's the good and the bad news of Christmas. It doesn't just mean there's light for the world. It means there's a light for you. For your dark spots. For painful memories, for regrets, places you didn't get it right, for restlessness, for frustrations, for grudges you hold, for addictions you battle, for relationships that are strained or broken, for the things you know about yourself that you hope others don't know about you. for whatever it is that in whatever way leads you away from God or leaves you wondering if God cares for you, there is an answer. There is a light for the darkest places of our own souls. The light of Christ to shine on us and in us and then through us. A light we can share with others. A light that only fails if we won't allow it somewhere. If we block it and keep it out. Christmas is the ultimate reminder that the light has come. It doesn't make the darkness go away. It shines in the darkness and never fails. And the darkness cannot overcome it. The things that you have given up hoping for, the things you don't think are possible in Christ. Friends, as we celebrate, as we eat and drink and exchange gifts and travel and sing and whatever else goes with this wonderful day of Christmas, may that light shine on us. May we let it into all of us. Because that's why it's here. That's what it came to do. May that light shine in us so that it can also shine through us into the lives of others. The light shines in the darkness. That's good news. The darkness cannot overcome it. That's the best news. Merry Christmas.